This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
11 من شهر مايو 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك بلوغ البرار. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله عز وجل, we continue from where we stopped, and I guess we are supposed to begin with a new chapter, right? And this chapter will be dealing with الصيد والذبائح. Okay, الصيد hunting, والذبائح slaughtering. Things that you caught through hunting and things that you slaughtered. The hukum of the Sharia concerning animals, the one you hunted and the one you slaughter. What does Sharia say about them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about al-sayd in the Quran in two places. In two places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned sayd. Number one is Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, لَيَبْلُوَنَّكُمُ اللَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الصَّيْدِ تَنَالُهُ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَرِمَاحُكُمْ. Allah will test you with something from the sayd, which your hand can catch. You know, during the Hajj season, a person is not allowed to hunt. So since this is something new for them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests them to see who will comply or who will not. Before, you know, you hardly see zebra or deer passing in front of you. But now, في متناول يدك, you can catch it with the hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring them along. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He will test you. بشيء من الصيد تَنَالُهُ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَرِمَاحُكُمْ. You know, you shoot your arrow, you know, because the distance is very close, you can just get it. However, you are in a state of ihram. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَقْتُلُ الصَّيْدَ وَأَنْتُمْ حُرُمْ. لَا تَقْتُلُ الصَّيْدَ وَأَنْتُمْ حُرُمْ. So the test comes because they are not supposed to kill if they are in a state of ihram. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَنَالُهُ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَرِمَاحُكُمْ. He will test the Hujjaj with this, in a way even you can catch with your hand, and also it's easy to shoot with the arrow or with the bundaqiyya, and then you will get it, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَخَافُهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will differentiate between the one who fears Him in secret and the one who doesn't. So to test the taqwa of the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us in this way. Who will fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to catch the prey in secret? So that's the first place, right? And the second place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in Surah Al-Ma'idah, He says, وَمَا عَلَّمْتُمْ مِنَ الْجَوَارِحِ مُكَلِّبِينَ تُعَلِّمُونَهُنَّ مِمَّا عَلَّمَكُمُ اللَّهِ. And that which you train from the jawarih, al-kawasib, those animals that have the ability to catch a prey for you, to get the kasb for you. Wakallibina, we will talk about the taklib inshallah in the future. Wal-ala allati yusadu biha thalathatan. We have three things usually people use to catch a prey. The first one is al-haywanul jarih, the animals that is al-jarih, al-kasib, meaning the one that can injure, the one that can catch, the one that can break. So these are dogs and any other thing that is used to do this thing. Yeah, we will see inshallah in the future, other than the dogs, what else people can use when they are hunting. Al-muhaddad, something that is sharp, like sword, arrow, you know. Wal mithqal, and something that is heavy. Kill based on the weight that it has. So we have three things, three ways people are doing. And inshallah, I guess each and every one of them will come in some of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He talks about as-sayd bi thiqah in the hadith. Inshallah, we will deal with that later, inshallah. قال عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من اتخذ كلبا إلا كلب ماشية أو صيد أو زرع انتقص من أجره كل يوم قيراط. الله المستعان. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this hadith, من اتخذ كلبا إلا كلب ماشية. Whoever takes a dog, you know, and keep a dog at home. Yeah? And there was a time, I think people are having celebration of touching dogs. That's long ago. Awzarain. If you have a dog which is not for the purpose of taking care of your sheep as a mashia, awsayidin, or to help you in your hunting, to hunt for you, awzarain, or to guard your farm, انتقص من أجره كل يوم قيراط. Every day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take from your reward al-qiraat. What is qiraat? It came in another place. والقيراط مثل جبل أحد. Qiraat is similar to the Mount of Uhud. Mount of Uhud is a very small mountain, right? Like, did you go to Mecca? Never, Medina. You go to Medina. Yeah, when you go there, there's a mountain called Abdurrahman. How big is Uhud? So tiny, right? Like the Faculty of Economics, right? Even some scholars said it's about 5 kilometers. I don't think it reached 5 kilometers, but it's too big. You know, it is too big, too big. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hada jabal yuhibbuna wa nuhibbu." Yeah, it's a very big mountain. So imagine, I mean, a reward being taken like this. I mean, the first question we should ask is that, who has this reward first? Do you even get this reward? Inshallah, you have, but every day this amount is going to be taken, though. Every day. And some people take it lightly. That's why the best answer to all of these type of liberalists is to say, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلَنَا دِينُكُمْ. Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to take it, take it. You don't want to take it, just leave it, you know. No need to modify and, you know. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. It stays like this. And He created dog, we don't. And He says this is how we should treat them. That's it. Yeah. So we will talk about some of these issues, inshallah, later. قَالَ وَالْحَدِيثُ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى مَنْ اتِّخَاذِ الْكِلَابِ وقتنائها وإمساكها إلا ما استثناه من الثلاث. And from this hadith, we learn that it is haram for a person to own a dog, except those three types of dog that the Prophet ﷺ said, they are exceptions. Yeah, it's haram to have a dog except for these three purposes. That's why selling dog is haram. You cannot sell dog. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an thamani al-kalb illa kalba saydin. Illa kalba saydin illa huna laysa ma'naha al-istithna al-ma'hud. When he says except the kalb al-sayd, it is not referring to the selling. You know, to say that they are exempted, you can buy them. No. The scholars said this illa bima'na wala kalbasayd. Wala kalbasayd. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says you cannot sell dog, when he says illa kalbasayd, it means wala kalbasayd. That's according to the way the Arabs speak, sometimes they speak like that. They use illa to include something in the general ruling. You know, if you go literally, it means except this one, but they don't mean that. Most of the scholars said this illa is referring to wala, has the meaning of wala kalbasayn, meaning even if this dog is for hunting, you cannot. by yourself. So the scholar said, you can pay for the training, you can sell the training, you know, the effort you put to train the dog, but the dog itself, you can't sell it. Meaning that untrained dog, can you just go and buy it? No, you can't. Yeah. But if they train it, they can quantify and give you the estimate of what they spend in training that dog, the effort, you know. If they spend any money, they can charge for this, no problem. So, ثمن الكلب خبيث, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, قال إن جاءك يطلب ثمنه فملأ كفه تراب. He said, when the person, the seller, the buyer comes to take his money, you know, let's say he buys dog from, you bought dog from him. And he comes to you to take the money, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, fill his hand with sand, rather than giving him money. There's a metaphor, right, to the majority. But Zahiriya says no. Literally, you take sand and put it in his hand. Yeah. But the majority of the scholars said Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is just referring to your rejection. Don't give him the money, but don't literally take the sand and put it in his hand. That's why kalb cannot be mal, right? When you define mal, كل عين مباحة النفي بلا حاجة, كلب cannot be mal because it is only permitted because of need, right? Because of need. وقد ورد بهذه الألفاظ روايات في صحيحين وغيرها واختلف العلماء هل المرء للتحريم أو للكراهة فقيل بالأول ويكون نقصان القيراط عقوبة في اتخاذها بمعنى أن الإثم الحاصل باتخاذها يوازن قدر قيراط من أجل المتخذ له. So the scholars have differences of opinion when it comes to taking keeping dog at home. This prohibition that exists in the hadith, is it للتحريم أو للكراهة? تحريم means if you do, you get sin. If you stay away from it, you get reward. And karaha means if you don't do, you get reward. If you do it, you will not get sin. Get it? So two different things here. So some scholars said it is haram. You know, it is haram. That's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put the uquba on it, right? Yeah. They say ونقصان القيراط عقوبة في اتخاذها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing the one who is taking the dog. And the sin that he get because of keeping dog at home is equivalent to the size of the Mount of Uhud. Meaning, the reward of that person will be taken, the amount of the Mount of Uhud will be taken from his reward every day. As long as the dog is there, every day the angel will deduct this amount. وفي رواية قيراطان, in some narration, قيراطان, two, قيراط. وحكمة التحريم ما في بقائها في البيت من التسبب إلى ترويع الناس وامتناع دخول الملائكة الذين دخولهم خير وبركة وتقرب إلى فعل الطاعات وبعد عن فعل المعصية. It says, the scholar said, the wisdom behind this, you know, is because dogs, when they are there, usually people get scared of dog. So you are scaring people unnecessarily, right? That's number one. And also, you yourself, when you have a dog, what happens? Angels will not come to your house, except those who cannot stay away from you. The additional angel of mercy cannot come to your house. So if angels of mercy are not there in the house, what will be the replacement? Shaitan. Because the two angels that are here, Shaitan still come to your place because this one, their job is fixed to right now. You get it? Any angels that has to go with you, has to be with you, those ones that usually don't stop Shaitan from coming to your house. But there are other angels which, if they are there, Shaitan cannot come to the house. And if you have the dog in the house, then those angels will not come to your house. You get it? And this is musibah, Allah. Big musibah. To do anything that would take angels from your house, this is musibah. You know, because what will be the replacement? Shayateen. Yeah. Kawabi is in the house and sharr will take place in the house, you know. It'd be very easy for the people in the house to commit sin. As he says here, the existence of the angels in your house is khayr wa barakah. It's good and also a blessing. And it brings mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the house, which will lead you to commit more righteous deed and to stay away from the ma'as. Yeah, because if you don't have kuwa sharr fi dakhil al-bayt, yeah, that's a tendency that you have inside you, which is telling you to go out and commit sin, the strength will be reduced. And nafs al-ammara, its strength is going to be very low, because we don't have shaitan influencing it. But if the angels go out, the angels, they go out and then the replacement is shaitan, yes, even at home, also you will be doing the things which are inappropriate. قَالَ وَلِتَجْنِيسِهَا الْأَوَانِي. And also, when they touch your plates, they lick the plate, what happened? Yeah, you have to wash it 7 times, right? 7 times or 8? 7. The washing, and also, وَعَفِّرُهُ الثَّامِنَةَ بِالتُّرَابِ. Number 8, you have to wash it with? Clay, soil, right? Dealing with fuqaha and muhaddithin, you know, you talk, they'll bring another narration. Yeah. It's a controversial matter among the scholars, which one comes first? The tatrib. When do I do the tatrib? Is it first or this? Al-aqrab an al-ula. You saw behind the ruwa, the kartaha. Tatrib, putting the turab. And Akram is the first one. Why do we support it? Although he says, وَعَفِّرُهُ الثَّامِنَةَ. What does that mean? Number 8 should be with turab, you know? Unless if you're going to do a very strange and weird combination, first with turab and last also with turab. You get it? Maybe only Yusuf will be saying this. But anyway, we take the hadith that says, أُولَهُنَّ بِالتُرَاب. للمعنى أولا للحديث وثانيا للمعنى لأنك, because when you put the clay in the last part, then you have to put water also again, then it will become 9. If I put the number 8 with the turab, what am I going to do? Water also to remove the turab. If I put that water to remove the turab, then this is wash number 9. Do you get an idea? So to maintain the 8 that mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ, we take the ruwayah to أُولَهُنَّ بِالتُرَاب. The narration that says أُولَهُنَّ بِالتُرَاب, we use that one. Because it goes with the meaning also. Yeah, you keep those 8, so you wash it first with the turab, and then the second, third, all water. Yeah. You get it? Yeah. Otherwise, we have to create another one. Or we say, tawakkal ala Allah, inshallah, nothing will happen, just put soil and then eat like that, you know. Tawakkal ala Allah. So, he says, tanjisi hala wani. And also it makes the plate najis. You have to wash it. How many times? 7 times wash, and also you have to use number 8 with the... the first one with the turab, and then 7 more washes with just the water. Can I replace the turab with the soap? A sabun. Was it there in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They have some replacement. They have. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said turab. That's why yajib turab. And if I'm not mistaken, they also say that in the saliva of a dog, there are bacteria. I think in this book also we passed that one. He said there are bacteria which are very harmful to the life of humankind, and only turab can remove them. No matter how much you use soap, it still exists, it remains. But turab will get them all. إِذَا ثَبَتَ هَذَا فَخَيْرٌ وَبَرَكَةٌ وَإِلَّا مِثْبُتْ يَكْفِينَ الْحَدِيثِ. if this is true, that yes, scientifically there is something which only turab, only soil can remove it, then alhamdulillah. If not, we don't need it. Hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is more than enough. It says turab with this. We have to use turab. Not soil. How about when you touch your cloth? The dog put its saliva on your cloth. Do you need to go for the 7 washes?
No.
Just wash it once, okay? Just a normal wash of the najasa. You know. How about your hand? Yeah? Al-aqyas, yes. Because if you are to do it with the plate, for sure with the hand that you eat with it, more applicable, inshallah. Yeah, and you don't keep dog. Yeah, it's as simple as just don't keep dog at home. The touching dog, is it haram? No, it's not. But if a person touch a dog, does he need to wash his hand? It depends. Yeah, if the body is dry, then you don't need to wash because there is no najasa in your hand. However, we have to establish that the body of the dog can be dry. Because they said the dog always sweats. Yeah, that's what some of them mentioned. They say it always sweats. That's why those who said when you touch, you have to wash your hand because it's always sweat, and the sweat of the dog is najasa. And we have to go also to another ikhtilaf, the sweat of a dog. Is it najis or not? You get it? And the saliva of a dog, is it najis or not? Yeah, so many things, so many ikhtilaf. So that's why the best is just don't keep dog in your house, and we don't need to go for all of these exercises. Anyway. Okay, قال ولتنجيزها الأواني وقيل بالثاني بدليل نقص بعض الثواب على التدرج فلو كان حراما لذهب بالكلية وفيه أن فعل المكروه تنزيها لا يقتضي حبوط شيء من الثواب. Another opinion says it's makruh. Why did he get the karaha? Because he said the reward is being taken from the account of this person gradually. If it is haram, it will just sweep everything. Yeah, honestly speaking, this is a very weak approach. Yeah, it's a very weak approach. And in مجرد الأخذ يدل على التحريم. And just ordinary taking is more than enough, Whether it is taken gradually, at the end of the day, it is taken, And qirat, who has qirat of reward, So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yultufa bina. But maybe those people they already have, that's why they take the dog. And according to this opinion, if a person does something that is makruh, this doesn't necessitate destruction of his deed. Get it? Destruction of his deed. قال وذهب إلى التحريم اقتناء الكلب الشافعية إلا المستثنى. الشافعية believe that it's haram for a person to take dog except a مستثنى. المستثنى means the one that are exempted, right? واختلف في الجمع بين رواية القيراط ورواية قيراطين فقيل إنه باعتبار كثرة الأضرار كما في المدن ينقص قيراطان وقلته كما في البوادي ينقص قيراط. والله some of the اختلافات anyway. تركها أولى. So in some narration the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said one قيراط. Another narration two قيراط. How do we combine between them? So some scholars said it depends on how much it harms, how harmful is the dog. If the harm is too much, like when you have a dog in the city, because the necessity of having dog in the city is very limited. Yeah. And also, it harms others more, because you have more people there, the place is crowded. So if a person keeps your dog and he's living in the city, the reward that will be taken from his account will be 2 qirat. If he's living in a village, the reward will be only 1 because the harm is little. Yeah, in some villages, you have a house here, another one there, another one there. You have to go a few meters for you to get the next house. Yeah. أو أن الأول إذا كان في المدينة النبوية والثاني في غيرها. Another one says no. If you, the first one is referring to the one who keep keeps dog in Medina. So you live in Medina, you have a dog, you get into trouble. They will take two qirat. And if you are having a dog in Malaysia, wherever you're having the dog, only one qirat. So if people know this, they will be mutasahilin. They will be negligent. Okay, only one qirat. Okay, let's go. Wallah, there are some people who are like, might be like this. أو قيراط من عمل النهار وقيراط من عمل الليل. Some says no, قيراطان meaning in the daytime one قيراط in the, so if you keep it only for the day, only one. So if you have, that's why he says here في المقتصر في الرواية باعتبار كل واحد من ال في المقتصر في الرواية باعتبار كل واحد من الليل والنهار. المثنى باعتبار مجموعهما. They are both day and night, then two قراط. If you have only one night, you know, in the day you chase it away. At night you bring it, then one قراط only. واختلفوا أيضا هل النقصان من العمل الماضي أو من العمل المستقبل. قال ابن تين المستقبل وحكى غير الخلاف فيه وفي دليل على أن من اتخذ المأذون منها فلا ينقص عليه وقيس عليه ما اتخاذه لحفظ الدور إذا احتيج إليه وأشار إليه ابن عبد البر واتفقوا على أن لا يدخل كلب العقور في الإذن لأنه مأمور من قتله. So they also have a خلاف, which deed? Is it the future deed or the past? Deed. Yeah. You get it? Is it a future deed or the past deed? Somebody says al mustaqbala, the future ones. Like in al aqrab, the current one, right? Because if you say the future one, is he going to live until he generates this amount of reward? Yeah. And also the literally the hadith يدل على أن الموجود هو المأخوذ. الماضي. Yeah, الماضي. Yeah, whatever you have, yeah, the reward you have right now, of course the one that you accumulated from the ماضي. Otherwise, if you say المستقبلة, he might say, I might not live until I get the قيراط, you know. But that one also is dangerous. It means whatever you do is destroyed automatically. Your prayers are gone, your fasting, the reward is gone. Yeah, both are bad. And also we learn from this that if you have permission, then your reward will not be taken. If there is a permission, your reward will not be taken. So that means if I have a dog for hunting, my reward will remain. If I have it for my sheep, the reward will remain. And scholar said, we also make qiyas here. If there is a need for protection of the house, house is not mentioned in the hadith. You're living in a place where there are a lot of criminals. You need to have a dog at home. And then you have one in your house. Do you lose qirat every day? Or we do qiyas and say, you're also included in the general ruling. So Ibn Abdul Barr, Abu Umar also talk about this matter. He says, yes, we do that. I remember Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani al-Malik al-Saghir, Sahib al-Risala, the one who authored this noble book of Maliki school, al-Risala. He has a dog at home. They told him, but Imam Malik la yara jawazaha. Anta Maliki, you are Maliki, but Imam Malik doesn't agree with this, having dog at home. Subhanallah, he said, he says, لو كان مالك حيا. He said, if Imam Malik is to be alive, لاتخذ في بيته أسودا. He says, because of the situation, I believe if Imam Malik is alive, he is going to take lions in his house, not only dog. You know? He'll go for lions. إشارة إلى أنه يجوز, right? just trying to tell them that it's halal in these circumstances to have a dog, you know. So that's correct also. If you're living in a place where the insecurity in that place is very strong, not based on waham. Waham means imaginary, you know, thing. You think you might not be safe in this place, you just have a dog. No, it has to be something that is there in the community. Everyone knows that living in this community without a dog is very dangerous to your house. Then you can have a dog. Just the thought of you being in trouble doesn't justify you keeping a dog in the house.
It's not halal.
Yeah, it's haja. It's haja, you know. We take it to darura when it reached life and death situation. You know that some people are threatening you, and if they reach you, the possibility of you living is almost zero. Then keeping dog in your house, those heavy, huge dogs, is darura in your case. Yeah, have 10,000 in one. Yeah. But then we leave it as haja. Haja aqall min ad-darura. So it's clear, inshallah, right? So when a person needs a dog at home, that should be fine, inshallah. But he has to make sure that, yes, there is a need between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وفي الحديث دليل على التحذير من الاتيان بما ينقص الأعمال الصالحة وفيه الإخبار بلطف الله عز وجل في إباحته لما يحتاج إليه في تحصيل المعاش وحفظه. الله أكبر. We skip something. واتفقوا على أنه لا يدخل الكلب العقور في الإذن لأنه مأمور بقتله. And also it's a consensus of the scholars that a kalb al-aqur, a mad dog, as a kalb al-aqur, a mad dog, la yadkhul fil idhn. It is not included in the permission because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to kill. Where was the command? You are right, but this is al-qawlu bi riwayat al-hadith bil ma'na. He says khamsun min ad-dawab kulluhunna fawasik. Al-aqrab, al-hida, al-fa'ar, na'am, al-fa'ar wal kalb al-aqur. Last akhir wahida kalb al-aqur. He says wal kalb al-aqur. So قال يقتلن في الحل والحرم. A person is allowed to kill them whether he finds them out of haram or inside haram. Because haram is a restricted area that you cannot hunt, you cannot kill animal. But these ones, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you kill them wherever you find them. So he says, والكلب العقور. So الكلب العقور مأمور بقتله فلا يدخل في الإذن هنا. If you have that type of dog, it is haram for a person to keep it. We're talking about the kalb that is trained, the one that can do the job of those activities mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Clear, inshallah. قالوا في الحديث دليل على التحذير من الاتيان بما ينقص الأعمال الصالحة. He would mention a bit of commentary on this later, inshallah. We learn from the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is warning us from doing anything that can cause you to have decrease in your righteous deed. Yeah, how much we have is already little. And then now you're doing something also that will reduce from that little. It doesn't make sense. Unless if you have magrur who thinks he's okay, everything is fine. Yeah. But if you look at what you're doing, it's very little, yeah. Very little. Especially our life. Our time. In the past, yeah, those ones are something else, but in our time, a waste of time is more than being serious. But then we add to that doing things which will take our reward. قال وفيه الإخبار بلطف الله عز وجل. And also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, you know, that it is part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He made this halal for us. Yeah? Whatever can help us to get halal rizq. Sahib al-Mashia, shepherd, he needs some support to preserve and protect his sheep from the animals, you know, and from them being lost. And Sahib al-Mazra'a also kadalik, the one who has a mazra'a farm, he needs a dog to be in that farm to keep those animals that can come and steal, and the human beings also who can come and steal from his farm, also to keep them away from his farm. And the last one is also the hunter. If you're going to hunt by yourself, it will be very difficult. Dog can do for you a lot of jobs, you know, which you can't do yourself. Your arrow, and how far, yeah, there are some people who are very, subhanAllah, and strong in terms of hitting the target, but not everyone is like that. The time you shoot, you miss, you know. But dog chase, it goes wherever the animal goes, it goes with it, you know. Inshallah, we'll talk about funny, you know, exceptions mentioned by the scholars concerning this matter. Inshallah, and I would test your, what do you call that one, IQ? Is that something I heard people say? I don't know what is that, but anyway. Test your smartness in getting the correct answers, inshallah, later, inshallah. So try to get the principles here, so that when we come to those questions, you'll be able to get them correctly and disappoint. قال ورد في مسلم الأمر بقتل الكلاب. قال القاضي إياد ذهب كثير من العلماء إلى الأخذ بالحديث في قتل الكلاب إلا ما استثني. You know, there is a narration that says a dog should be killed. إياد, قاضي إياد, he says most of the scholars believe that this hadith should be taken into consideration, that we should kill every dog except what is exempted. قال وهذا مذهب مالك وأصحابه. This is the madhhab of Imam Malik and his students. وذهب آخرون إلى جواز اقتنائها جميعا ونسخ قتلها إلا الأسود البهيم. And some scholars, you know, they said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi, they believe that it's okay for you to have dogs in all of it type, any dog. They believe that the killing, permission to kill the dog, command to kill the dog is mansukh. Mansukh means abrogated, right? Illa al-aswad al-bahim, except al-aswad al-bahim. Al-aswad al-bahim means extremely aswad, you know, black. The one that doesn't have any color except the black. Because of the hadith of Muslim, أن جابر بن عبد الله قال أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بقتل الكلاب حتى إن المرأة تقدم من البادية بكلبها فتقتله ثم نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن قتلها وقال عليكم بالأسود البهيم ذو النقطتين فإنه شيطان. And also there is another narration عن عبد الله بن مغفل وليس بمغفل قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لولا أن الكلاب أمة من الأمم لأمرت بقتلها كلها فاقتلوا منها كل أسود بهيم. This hadith is mentioned, I think, earlier. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, according to this opinion, every dog, I mean, we cannot kill dogs except this one. And this is the correct opinion, actually. The one that says we don't kill dogs except al-aswad al-bahim, dhun nuqtatayn. Al-aswad al-bahim is the one that is extremely dark. So we have the hadith of Jabir. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded them to kill dogs. He says, you find also a woman coming with her dog to the city, to Medina, and then she will kill. You get it? ثُمَّ نَهَى النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ قَتْلِهَا. So at first, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kill the dog. So she bring a dog, and people will kill, and she will also support them in that. So later on, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it prohibited. قال عليكم بالأسود البهيم ذو النقطتين. You focus on al-aswad al-bahim ذو النقطتين. Noqtatayn is the one who has two dots on top of his eyes. So it's like he has four eyes.
Yeah.
Black with those dots.
Yeah.
On the eyes. It says kill that one. Okay? فَإِنَّهُ شَيْطَان. Because this one is shaitan. Some scholars said, Noqtatayn لَيْسَتَا بِشَرْط. Any dog that is black completely, no any other color, is the one that the Prophet ﷺ is referring to. Not necessarily the one that has dots. But the point is to have the one that doesn't have any other color except the black one. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ has said this hadith of Abdullah ibn Mughaffal. He says, لَوْلَا أَنَّ الْكِلَابَ أُمَّةً مِنَ الْأُمَّمِ لَأَمَرْتُ بِقَتْلِهَا كُلَّهَا. If not because of the fact that dogs are also ummah, nation from the nations that Allah SWT is creating from the animals, and will command people to kill any dog they found on earth. ولكن عليكم بالأسود منها. قال فقتلوا منها كل أسود بهيم. Kill the one that is extremely dark, extremely black. It doesn't have any other color except the dark color. قال وعندي أن النهي أولا كان عاما في اقتنائها جميعا وأمر بقتلها جميعا ثم نهى عن قتل ما عدا الأسود ومنع الاقتناء في جميعها إلا المستثنى. That's correct. He says to me, this is Al-Qadhi Iyad, he says to me, the command, the prohibition, you know, came at first. You know that nobody is allowed to keep a dog, any dog. And also Rasulullah told them not to keep it and to kill. Not keep it and also kill. They have to stay away from it and kill whatever they can find. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam naha an qatl ma adal aswad. And then he stopped people from killing that which is not black. That means only black should be killed. Wa mana al iqtina fi jami'ha. So he stopped the killing except the black one, but for the iqtina, keeping dog, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it prohibited in all of them except those three. So we cannot have pet dog, right? We cannot have pet dog. So we learn from this that a dog cannot be kept at home, and we are supposed to kill whatever dog we found. We're supposed to kill the black dog only, the one that doesn't have any other color. But also we have to understand that we are living in different time, right? Dogs have rights in some places more than the human beings. Even lion in the Western community, the dog inherits also. He will be willing to deprive his family from inheritance for his dog. I remember in one of the universities, sisters, they have been attacked by the dog, you know, and because this university is UK university, and you have European there, so there was a conflict between the life of the student and the dogs. The student started taking revenge. Yeah. And those guys, they focus more on the dog than the people. And guess what? Who won? The dogs. Yeah. They're attacking also. And you cannot do anything. You just have to watch. Because if you attack, you're attacking the friend of those guys. Assalamu alaikum. That's why those people, no akhlaq, no deen, no khuluq. No deen, no khul. They need to come to be taught how to live with human beings. Those people, they need to be trained how to live with human beings. And they need to be taught that human beings have value. Because I don't think those guys, they know, they understand that human beings have value. How much time left, Abdurrahman? What is the time now? 6:40? I think we stop here, because this one is long narration. But we can continue if you want. Do we have a lot of questions?
Some. Four questions.
40. When is Maghrib? 7:20. We still have long time. Yeah, if you have questions, we can stop. If not, then we can take... if you have questions, we can stop and then go with the questions until then. And if no question, then we can take... this hadith has a lot of masail under it. Can take some few masail. No problem. Let's take the questions. If time permits, nobody is talking, then we just go back to dars, inshallah. You have to press and hold.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu
alaikum. Sheikh, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that tahuru inai ahadikum idha walagha fihi al-kalbu ay yakhsirahu sab'a marratin wala hunna bil turab. Now this hadith indicates that dog's saliva is najis. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specified that it should be washed 7 times with turab. So now, if we say that this only applies to the ina, but not on our cloth, what evidence are we using?
Good question, right? The question I have for you before I answer yours, let me ask you one also. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ask us to wash it 7 times?
Wait.
I haven't finished my question. Whatever answer you give me, before I finish my question, the answer is batila. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ask us to wash it 7 times? Why not 3 times? Why not once? Because not yet done.
Sabar.
How does it sabar in Thailand? Okay. So why did he ask us to wash it 7 times? Not once, not 3 times, no, up to 7. And you also have to put clear. Get it? Normally, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to my knowledge, this is the only place where you have to wash something 7 times. Actually, to make it mandatory more than once, this is the only place, except using the rod to clean yourself. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said 3, but this one is very, you know, clear, because using the first one most likely will never clean. Right? Yeah, you have to use the next one. By using the 3, inshallah, a person will be clean. In the normal circumstances, is al hukm yadur ma illati wujudan wa adama. If I wash the saliva of a dog, I use no more water. I wash it. Probably do not. When I look at it, do I see the saliva? It's gone. But Rasulullah said, I have to wash it 7 times. So now the question is it because of the najasa, or it is because there is something which is harmful to us that we need to remove them? So we need to answer this question first for us to be able to answer your question. You get it? Why can't we apply that on the cloth? You get it? Because if the case is not najasa, there is something attached to the saliva, you know, then we understand why plate is mentioned. That this is a place where we eat. You're going to eat and then you might get affected by those diseases. Which, alhamdulillah, nowadays, from time to time, you see the scientists are telling us, dog has this, you know. There is this in the saliva, you know. They did research also to find what exactly is in the saliva of a dog, you know? And they also agree with the early scholars. So if we say that it is not because of the najasa, it is because of those things, you know, then why do I need to tell a person to wash his clothes 7 times with the turab? Imagine he has white clothes and on. I thought with Arabi, the long jubbah and very white. Tell him, "Ula hunna bit turab." He has to wash it with the turab. Wallahi, that will be difficulty in the deed, you know. Because right after that, he has to bring one. No, soap cannot work sometimes in this. You have to bring the bleach, the Clorox, you know, and put all of these things, you know. You have to buy them, go to heavy wash. Why? If there is a hadith that says that, no problem. We know that the companions, some of them have dogs because they're hunters. We never heard that the Prophet ﷺ asked them to wash their clothes. For sure, dog touch them and the saliva touch them from time to time. We never heard Rasulullah ﷺ telling them to wash their clothes 7 times with the Torah. But he says the plate when he قَالَ فِي إِنَاءِ أَحَدِكُمْ قَالَ فِي إِنَاءِ أَحَدِكُمْ. Yeah, the reason why we can say, even the hand also we can say only once. But if we establish that there is something inside the saliva itself, you get it? And then when it touched the hand, of course, we tell a person wash it with the Torah first and wash 7 times is better. More applicable here than that. Get it, Fadilat al-Mufti?
Now, this brings another question. Because Najasa has Ayn and Hukum. So now, if we say that, okay, the Ayn has been removed, so now after one, we have to wash 7 times because something is still there. But that something is not Najasa. So can we say that the hukum of Najasa has been removed just by washing it once? Is it that what we are saying?
In the cloth, right.
لَلَا أَقْسِدْ الْإِنَا. If it's in like the إِنَا مَثَلًا, in the plate. The hukum of Najasa has
that's
been
removed. By removing the Najasa, you don't see the saliva completely. Najasa is gone.
This is what we are saying.
And this is what we should. Because the hukum يدور مع إلته وجود عدم. I don't see the saliva there. I wash it. It touched the place, it's the same as the other places. You get it? But Sharia is فوق أقولنا. Sharia says wash it 7 times. And as scholars said, because najasa is قوية. لكن نحن ما نجاسة. And that's the reason why when they do the qiyas on the khinzir, they said khinzir أقوى نجاسة من الكلب. The other opinion says, how do you know that khinzir أقوى نجاسة من الكلب? And even if we assume that khinzir نجاسته أقوى من نجاسة الكلب, then who told us that 7 washes, it is because of the najasa, not because of what is inside? Because if you look at the majmul adilla, tasarrufat al-sharia, sharia usually when it comes to the najasa will ask you to remove the najasa. Just wash it. But this one, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said for dawn, he said wash it 7 times. And he asked you also to use turab. All of these can act as qareena to tell you that no, there is something beyond the najasa. It's not only about the najasa. It's also about our health. Do you get the idea? And that's why they mentioned this to us. And I guess, inshallah, if you go back to our early dars, you know, here in Sumb al-Salam also, they mentioned in the Hashia, the very beginning of Sumb al-Salam, we talk about this. They have in the saliva of a dog, there are some bacteria that only turab can remove them. Only turab. So we will say this is mu'ajiza min mu'ajizat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You get it? So we will tell a person not to eat, do not eat on the plate that dog put its tongue on it unless if you wash it 7 times. Even if you put soap, you don't see it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, put the turab first. You have to put the turab. Why? Because of your health. First, because of Sharia says 7. Yeah, whether we know about the scientific discovery or we don't know it, it doesn't matter. But can we just say this is because of the najasa? Also, we have no evidence for this. These are all assumptions. Again, if we have a hadith that says because the najasa will come be kabira or qawiyya or kathira, you know, then we say, yeah, this is because of the najasa.
I have another one, but all that's.
No, ask us until you finish. We still have time, I guess.
Sheikh. Second question, Sheikh. I think we've mentioned that touching dogs are not. It's not allowed
touch
to touch
and go
dogs.
Or touching dogs.
It's touching dogs. Okay. It's not allowed. So now, the dogs that the Sharia has made an exception, you know, dogs of hunting, you know, mashia, hunting and you know, guarding. Mm. So now, if this exemption is made due to haja, does it mean that the tahrim of touching dogs becomes lighter?
Do we say it's haram to touch dog? No.
No.
Did you come after that?
I think he came after that. I think you missed that part. Oh, you misunderstood.
I was there.
But alhamdulillah, we are still alive. We can fix what he understanding. What he's narrating from us in the wrong way, so we can fix it, alhamdulillah. Yeah, we said it's okay to touch dog. Yeah. We don't say that somebody touching dog, he's committing haram. However, when he touch, does he need to wash his hand or not? Mm-hmm. Then we say it depends. Get it?
Yeah.
If there is a saliva, then a person has to wash his hand. Not a saliva, the sweat.
Yeah.
He has to wash his hand. If there is no sweat, then wow. But then I quoted that opinion of some scholars. They said dog naturally, the butt always sweat. So you can have that 90% of sweat touching. So that means when you touch a dog, al-ahwat, wash your hand even if it is dry.
Sheikh, the thing is, ahsallahu alaykum.
And also they talk about this the sweat itself. Is it even najaz or not?
Sheikh, ahsallahu alaykum.
We have to solve all of those things, then you can come to the conclusion. Yes.
Ahsanallahu ilayk. These dogs, I mean, because a person who has these dogs out of need, so now this becomes, doesn't this become mashaqqatul ihtiraz? You cannot stay away from it.
Can
this count of that and becomes yu'fa and becomes
stay away from it? Why would I put my plate in the place where dogs can come on?
Even though the dog is something that Sharia exempted.
Even keep them in the, you have the plate, put them in the place where dogs don't go to that place. And that raises a question actually. When we have a dog, are we supposed to keep it in the house or we have to keep it out of the house?
Outside.
Yeah. So the plate is inside and the dog doesn't come.
Zakumullah.
I don't want to argue, but why not inside?
No. So if he's not walking in front of you when you're praying?
Okay, let's mark it. And put sutra, you know.
Yeah,
but they're not talking about that Adam. They're talking about if you let the dog come into your house, does that mean angels of mercy can come to the house since you're permitted to have that dog? Or if you keep it inside, then they will not come, although you're allowed to keep it. So the only thing that you are gaining here is losing your reward. You will not lose your reward, but you lost the angel coming into your house. That's why those callers said it has to be kept outside to avoid you getting into trouble. Otherwise, there is no evidence that says that if that dog come into your house, you're committing sin. So to avoid getting into trouble, then keep it out of the house. Can it come into the house? Yes. Because if you have a dog for protection, and you say dog is not allowed to, and the thief is inside the house, what does the dog do? Haram for me to come. Haram for it to come inside the house. You get it?
Yeah.
So it's okay for it to come. But it's better for a person to have a place for the dog out of the house. I think even non-Muslims also say that they have a small house for a dog out. I think those Western people, I think the dog gets inside also and sleep with them and... Finish all of that. Okay, no problem. Come, let's...
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. In the military, they use dogs for a lot of purposes. Does this count under the guard dog?
No, that was a need.
Okay.
They use dog to discover also the dead bombs, bodies and the bombs also. All of these type of purposes, inshallah.
And if you're killing a black dog, should you get the permission of the local administration and take into consideration like how people will react to it?
That's why I said if we have to be very careful because we're living in a time where dogs have a right, so a person shouldn't do it. But if you're living in a village where nothing is there, They're just living their life. The government doesn't even care about them. Yeah, that's it. You live according to what the Sharia says. But you're living in a city. Kill a dog, you go to jail. The Sharia never advise you to put yourself into trouble because of this. You know, the authority should do it, not us. Because if we do it, the owner of the dog will react. And I have to get into trouble because of that. So why would I do it? So it's better to stay away from it.
Mm. And earlier you said that we said that you can kill an animal through a hunting animal, a sharp weapon or a blunt weapon. So does this mean trapping is not halal?
It depends on how you trap them. You trap and come and get them, no problem. But you trap them in a place where they stay there until death. Mm. That's wrong.
What if the trap
suffocates them? The gecko, we have some stickers, right? They come and get stuck. A person has to come immediately and kill them. Cannot leave them until death. That's wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
Inshallah, all of these things, this topic, all of these things that you are about to raise in your question, they will be discussed through the hadith. Yeah.
السلام
عليكم ميمورايز ده
لا حضرتك السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته شيخ احسن الله اليك في الدنيا والاخره
وعليكم
شيخ the first question is by a sister شيخ a sister who has been going through difficult times in her marriage in seeking khulla she asks in cases where she and her child has been denied of monetary and family rights does she have to give her husband the mahar back or in her case she is exempted from doing so
He asked for the mahar.
I think
she's the one who's looking for the divorce.
Yeah, she's looking for that.
And the husband says she has to pay the mahar?
Yeah, I think so. Does she have to give her husband back the mahar? Yeah.
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. If the husband asks for the mahar, she wants khulu, and the husband asks for the mahar, then she has to give him the mahar.
Oh. Okay.
Get it? Mm. But she asked for the divorce. And the husband granted her the divorce. Khalas, no need to give her the mahar.
Okay.
Can you get? It's because khula is a right that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the sisters when they don't like to stay with the husband. Yeah, because not every time the husband is the one who doesn't like to stay. Mm. He doesn't want to be with that woman. Doesn't. Try to convince him, he doesn't want to. What is the way out? Divorce, in a nice way. How about her? Well, she doesn't want to be with him. She cannot tolerate staying with him. Because of a good justification. This husband is khamar, always drink wine, a common abuse. You know, and this husband doesn't pray. This, that's al-qawl bi islami, it's like. And this husband is a sinner. Always I've been mixing with the other sisters, she can't. This husband is not providing the nafaqah for her. This husband is one of the bad people in the community. She realized that after the marriage. She can't stay with him. So when she looked for the divorce, she pays him the mahar.
Oh.
She pays him the mahar and get out of the marriage. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for them a way out. You get it? Otherwise, it would be tragedy. Yeah, it would be tragedy. There are sisters who are really suffering, living under the custody of those type of husbands. So is there any way for them to get out of the marriage? Yes, there is. Yeah. So which is to go for the khula, and the court will force him to accept and divorce her if she can justify that. You know, because to look for the divorce without justification in Islam, she might invite the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on her. But if she has a justification for that, why do we need justification? Because this man spent a lot. And him going to marry another woman might put him into a state of difficulty. And he has no problem, actually. He provides for her. He loves her. He doesn't harm her. But just she just doesn't want to live with him. Yeah. So that's the reason why the hadith says there has to be justification. When she justified that, then the court has to grant her what she is looking for. You know, the court must grant her what she's looking for. Inshallah.
Okay. Sheikh.
But as I said, if she told him to divorce and he agrees to divorce us, that's fine.
Okay, Sheikh. Jazakallah khairan. Our next question is by Brother Irfan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh.
Assalamu
alaikum. I have a question. I have a resort or hotel and a clothing company which wants to have a clothing photo shoot which includes women with hijab, most likely will be posted on the social media or magazine. I'm worried this might be haram. So I would like to ask for a ruling on this.
Yes, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ غُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Right? If you post those images and people are watching, I mean, a person should even ask himself, you know. Yeah. So that's why that is a way to advertise the clothes. Yeah. Have just put the clothes in the way they are. Or have just something stick, you know, that
dummy.
Yeah, that not the really dummy that bring the shape of a woman, you know. That's wrong also. Mm-hmm. But that is always a way to make it, inshallah. So a person should try his best not to invite the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his business. And you're looking for barakah, do it in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appreciate it for you and reward you and put barakah in your risk. You know?
Okay. Next question.
And sometimes some ask, you know, because they put and they bring the pictures with all the makeup and things because they are dealing with sisters, right? No. This sister, when she buy the clothes, she's buying it for who?
Husband.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Usually, she's buying it for the sake of her husband, right? Mm. Yeah, that's how it is. I mean, the sister, when she buy the clothes, not for him to wear. But for her to, Adam, why you go so zahiri, you know? We need to release him to marry. Inshallah, he will not have this strange fatwa. Yeah, when the clothes comes in those images, right? Who is the first consultant she has? Husband. She's going to click and open. If she's so muttaqi, she's going to, let me cover the thing, right? And then it doesn't cover properly, right? He doesn't see properly. Then he has to, she has to move a bit. And if he doesn't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sees those who are so pretty in that place. And after she left, because they play with the phone of each other, he will take also and see. I want to choose for you the best one. And in reality, he's choosing for himself the next one, right? Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So even with this also justification, a person has to think twice, because who is...
So is the problem with the creation of the picture or with the woman? Because let's say it was for male clothing. Can you get a male to show off the clothing, or is it the problem with the creation of the picture?
So just put the cloth itself and that's better. This is what I would advise a person to do. Yeah, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't look, and I bring it to you, and you have to look for you to choose the cloth, what am I doing? Anyway. Get it? Yeah.
Next.
Okay, sure.
Inshallah, you will go. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, you know. Buying cloth actually is good to go and buy and see first by itself. What works in the body of Hamad, if Faza wears it, it would be so strange. Yeah. That's why I don't advise buying clothes from distance. Order clothes, with the one that you will wear. You will sell it to people, no problem, but the one you will use, yeah, because sometimes you have to return it. The size is not good. Or the way you see it in the picture is always like that, you know? Mm. Even when you go to the shop, the lighting also is designed to attract you. When you go home, you don't see that. Yeah. But in the shop, it looks so nice, you know? But when you wear, astaghfirullah. Anyway. So I will advise a person to avoid images and promote his business in using other methods, inshallah.
Yes,
sir.
Next question, Sheikh. There are two parts for this question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Can someone report a truth that happened with the authority to defend himself in certain situation and have written report or speak up for themselves about the truth? Is this sinful?
I don't get the question. Somebody?
Report the truth that to the authority to defend themselves in a certain situation and have written report. I think they're talking about a sin.
When he is reporting to the authority that somebody is doing something to them?
No, not to them. There's something going on and they report to the authority. Since I think in the last class we talked about zina and we shouldn't report.
Oh, those ones. No. Because even the zani himself is not allowed to go to the authority and talk to them about what he did. We should advise him to stop doing. The authority, they have enough job to make them busy with the other activities. We shouldn't increase. So this person that I saw him doing the committing zina, I go and advise him. You get it?
The question is, the person is under certain accusation.
Mm-hmm.
So by exposing this information, he can save himself from the other one.
I don't get this.
Yeah, that's the question.
Give me, just put in an example.
I cannot get
put any other person, not somebody from us.
I cannot think of examples.
It's like,
okay, another version.
It's like two people were involved in a murder. Okay. So now the police tell one of them to tell me who the other one was, and you all not go to jail.
Let me address that one. I will come to your understanding. Mm-hmm. With all of the understanding, inshallah, the questioner will have an answer to his question. So I have two people, right?
Okay.
They ask him to inform the killer.
That means two people commit the murder.
I know. Now, who is the next one?
The police ask, tell me who is the next one, then I will remove you from the jail.
But he has to be also in charge of that murder, right?
Yeah.
But just they give him some discount for telling. Yeah, he has to actually, even without discount, he has to tell. In the murder case, he has to tell. Must.
In the robbery case, different cases.
Must tell the one who. Yeah. Let's say in a rape situation, he managed to know who raped that sister and put her into that trouble. He must inform the government about that person. Except if his life is threatened. If he tell he's living in a place where the government doesn't have a capacity to protect him. Like in some countries, you report a person who is dealing with drugs. Most likely your days are numbered, you also. Because in those countries, the police there also cooperate with these guys. So they will tell them, Sajjad was the one who would tell about you. And then those one will come to your house and take what they believe to be their right. And the normal circumstances, these type of crimes, a person has to tell, must, because it affects the public. The case of zina, the normal one, this one, they go and do it based on their agreement. You get it? It's affecting them alone more than the community. It affects also the community, but not in the case of rape, murder, theft, all of these ones, he has to tell, the authority,
Except for zina, in these kind of situations, we can report.
Yeah, issues that just that person is affected.
Okay.
Yeah. Although it has a hukum, but Sharia tells him to fear Allah, to repent. And you, the one who saw him also, you shouldn't take the case to the authority. Just go and advise him.
Okay.
Okay, now we are done with the Sajjad version. Now the Hamad.
Let's say there's a person who is accused of stealing money, like 200 ringgit. Now this person, in his defense...
Was he the one who took my 200 ringgit then?
So in his defense, this person says, why would I steal 200 ringgits? I just took a loan from a bank of 10,000 ringgits with riba. So in this case, exposing his sin that I took loan with riba in order to defend himself that I did not steal 200 ringgits. Something like this situation.
What are you mentioning? It means a person stole 200 ringgit.
No, a person is accused of stealing 200 ringgit.
I know.
In his defense, he says that why would I steal 200 ringgits when I took 10,000 ringgits loan from a bank?
But that's so dumb a response from him, actually, because those people, the thieves, they are richer sometimes than many in the community. They have a lot of money, but the heart is dead.
Yeah, but I'm giving an example. Like, he's exposing a sin
okay.
to defend himself from an accusation.
He shouldn't. And still, which police is he dealing with that will that will exclude him from being into trouble? Exposing sin is wrong. A person shouldn't expose his sin. When he is discovered by the authority, they ask him, did you do this? And he speaks the truth. There is a hadith which says he shouldn't tell the truth, but that hadith is weak. They say they brought a person to the Prophet ﷺ, but that hadith is weak. Did I even finish my hadith? That hadith is weak. They say they brought a person, Hamad, they brought him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Asaraqt? Qul la." He said, "Did you steal?" He said, "Please say no." Yeah, that hadith is weak. But the scholars use it to support this. Al-haquq allati yustahabu fiha as-satr. But if I know that he's the one who stole the thing, I have no right to hide it. And he has to go and return the thing to the owner. You get it? He has to return. He must. He cannot say this is haqqullah. No, that is haqqul adami also. You get it? That is haqqul adami also. So he must return the thing back to the owner. I think you have to move that computer a bit. Yeah. Yeah. A bit. Mazen, check. Yeah. Adam, khalas.
It's gone, I guess.
No, inshallah, it's not gone. And you see, we did not finish with the. Today, so many people are not. Less sabr. Less sabreen. Okay. What was I saying just now?
You said the hadith and then speak with scholars use it.
Huh?
The hadith of Rasulullah said, Qullah, and then.
And they were talking about this person, you know, shouldn't expose himself, you know, he should keep it a secret. Yeah, unless if it is, I mean, at the same time, as I said, he has to go and return the thing back to that person. If he's not willing to return, and I know that he was the one who's to. I have to report the case, but I must have evidence to support my side. But yes, he took the property of somebody. Yeah. Advise him to return it, and he has to return. Mm. Yeah.
But in the case, the person is actually innocent. So he's using this as a means to free himself from the accusation. He didn't actually steal the money.
Yeah, he can tell them, yes. I took a loan, I already, not need to mention he took a loan, I just have money with me, why would I steal?
So that's the question. So a person, he's accused of something but he's actually innocent.
Mm.
So he says if there is a means for him to expose a sin, to free himself from this accusation, would it be permissible?
But why would he expose? In this case, he doesn't need to tell that he's committing riba.
Maybe
I took riba, why would I steal money? You know? Just say I have money, you know. Because it's not good for a person to expose the sin that he's doing when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concealed that sin. He has to tell.
He should tell.
Mm. Yeah, because there is a way out for them. They're poor. Go and beg people, you know. In this time of ours, inshallah. Yeah. Especially living here, inshallah, if you're hungry, there is always somebody who can help. Friends, you know, even go to the masjid, go to everywhere. Tell people, wallahi, don't eat. Please help me with anything to eat to survive. I don't want money, I just want food. Inshallah, he find 10 people who will buy him so many bags of rice and ask him to keep us home and survive.
Let's say there's a group chat with men and women in it, and they're just talking and joking. Is it better for you to individually advise each person in the group chat, or can you just go and say what you're doing here is not commendable?
I mean, in a group of the people in WhatsApp and people
Yeah, over WhatsApp, yes.
Do something wrong.
Yeah, let's say it's, you know, men and women, they're talking and joking and just enjoying their life. This is wrong.
Yeah, if everyone is involved, then the best is to address the matter in the group itself.
Just say it right in the group?
The group itself. Okay. But if, let's say, only Kareem and Karima, the best is to address both of them separately to stop it.
Mm.
Because when you use the group, they might feel so embarrassed, and that might make them arrogant, and they will not listen to what you're saying. So the best is to address them. But if everyone is like that...
It's like 10, 12 people.
Yeah, yeah, if everyone, or the vast majority are like that, the best is to put in the group. Mm-hmm. But be lenient. Yeah, because don't forget you are alone. They have their own shubha.
The men should not advise a woman, right?
Can, if it is necessary. No.
It's just in a group chat. It's just a general,
personally.
Can, if it is necessary.
Regarding what we mentioned just now, that the hadith that what was narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that asaraqta qulla, if you have you stolen, say no.
Mm-hmm.
I read in Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba, he narrated from Ali ibn Abi Talib and many of the Sahaba who took the positions of judges. They said to the person, Asaraqta qulla, have you stolen? Say no. I mean, is this authentic from this Sahaba?
I'm not sure about the Senate, but this one that is attributed to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I'm pretty sure it's weak. But can a person, advise the accused person to answer negatively? Yes. He can advise him indirectly. No, don't. Advise him indirectly. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam chased him away. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doesn't want to talk to him. Come later, please don't come now. Go, I will look for you later. Yes, mind the business, as say, inshallah. But if that is the case, somebody was complaining, that this person did, and they have evidence, what can you do? Nothing. You must use the evidence. But this is only applicable where confession is required for the hukum to exist. But in the case where you already have evidence, no, it doesn't work. He says lie, he says no, it doesn't change the reality. He has to face the consequences if there are witnesses.
Regarding the how can we make jam of this, and the issue that if the had reaches the Sultan, he has to
fight.
No. Because this narration came from Sahaba who were either a Khalifa or a judge. And these were, they were wulatul amr. So now the person came to them. How can we put the two and two together?
Yeah, that's one they are talking about. When the had is established, then the Sultan has to execute it. No forgiveness. However, in the process of establishing the had, you can give them some hint to reject, to deny, to say no, to just retract back their confession, even if they confess. You can give them hint. But once the case is established, no way for it to stop, if it is had case. Finish? Let's go ahead until people come for Maghrib, then we stop.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. The next part of the question is, how about mentioning truth in situations that happen for a medical report reason? Is it sinful or allowed in Islam? Is it backbiting for this reason?
Like
I think, zina.
Doctors sometimes ask, are you active?
Are you?
They ask
about Zina, right?
Yeah.
This is
cricket. Oh, they ask him.
Regarding about Zina. I guess.
And why are they asking him?
Blood test. Maybe for the blood donation, they ask.
Yeah, they should write them in the paper.
They were asked you to write the paper.
Yeah, should write them in the paper. And if he is doing, he has to stay away from filling that form. He must. You know, because there is a reason why they are doing, right? Yeah, to avoid disease being transferred to others, right? Today, Adam is the one who is deserving us, you know.
Yes, sir. Continue with the questions. Okay, sir.
He's advising the group chat.
Ah. Okay, next.
Next question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. When a person feels that going to people will have negative impacts in life and the heart feels peaceful with Allah, and also by seeking certain advice from people who fear Allah, is talking to Allah the best solution in this situation?
How do you talk to Allah? What does he mean by talking to Allah?
Like communicating this.
How do you communicate like with Allah?
Just
dua? Just say dua, you know, yeah. You don't like these type of expressions. Talking to Allah and all this, how do you talk to Allah? Yeah. How do you talk to Allah, you know? And are you Musa alayhi salam or what? Let's make it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's part of my blessings upon this person that I talk to him, right? Yeah, it's something special. But then how do we make it even more books out to talk to Allah, you know? Yeah, Rajin, yeah. Yeah, making dua, it's okay. Complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is okay, inshallah. Better than complaining to human beings. So what is he asking here?
Like, I think seeking advice and all that.
Seeking advice from others or just complaining to Allah, is it?
Yeah, the person is feeling that going to people will have negative impacts in life and the heart feels more peaceful with Allah. Mm. Also seeking
It's always, advice. That's very obvious, you know. Yeah. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't seek the advice of others, you know, in this life Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to, how can I survive alone? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't come by himself to tell you what to do. But he guided you through the book and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also, you go to your brothers and seek the advice from them. That's how we complete ourselves. It's okay, inshallah.
Okay, sure. Next question. If a cat has najasa and we touch it indirectly by dealing with the cat owner or touching it and we forget, do we take wudu like normal without washing hands?
No, just washing hands. If you touch the najasa, that's it. If we don't touch the najasa, touching cat is not, unless if you're sure that the back, the body of the cat is najis. You know, otherwise you can hold cat, you can touch card, you know, no problem. You don't need to wash your hand or make wudu.
Thank you, Sheikh. Next question, Sheikh. How about a place that has dogs as security guard or lobby, and can we say at a unit's house there? I think. How about a place that has dogs in security guard or lobby?
Okay.
And can we stay at units, house there?
Can you live there basically?
Live with them.
Yeah, in that place.
Yeah, inside the house, right? Let's say PV8 house. I don't know how many dogs you have, but in can you live in that place? Yeah, no problem, because there is no dog in the house. That's just with the security.
Okay. Finish? Okay. Just last one.
One left. Okay.
Two.
No problem.
Sheikh, in case of statement, truth for stating the truth for medical report reason, is backbiting allowed in this reason?
Why do you backbite? somebody asks you, this person, is he suffering from the disease? Tell him, go ask him.
Mm. Like,
why do I tell?
If there's an accusation of zina, mm. and the doctor of the woman says, yes, she's pregnant. Mm.
That she, based on their discovery, they discover that she's pregnant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they give the report to the government. Mm-hmm. That's why they have to. Yeah, they must. Last one.
What if it will expose his own sins? Let's say this doctor performed an abortion on the sister, mm-hmm. and she is accused.
And
of
who's looking for this information at
the
first?
The government.
They have to give.
But then he's hmm? Sealing his own fate, isn't he?
He's
finished if he admits.
No problem. They have to give, because usually when the government looks for these cases, there was a case. Mm. We need to know. That's why we go to the DNA test. We go to pregnancy test to see whether she's pregnant or not. You know. All of this. Doctors have to give a correct result to the government. You know.
Yes, sir. Last question.
That's why this person just be, he should just be good. Yeah, even if they go and do the test, they will not find anything. Yeah.
Okay, sure. Last question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Let's say a children in a house is going through trauma and had stopped their studies because of some abuse done by their father, but the mother is helpless because of some family reason at the moment. Is the mother sinful for not bringing the children out from the home and let them go through the abuse?
Who is abusing them? The father?
The father is abusing.
Why would she let them go to the abuse? And what kind of abuse is that?
Physical.
Yeah, no, she shouldn't let them go to the place where they will be traumatized.
You know? So she should move?
She should?
She should move out from the house.
House, this is, she's still with the husband?
Yeah, with the husband.
You know, then she stay and stand for the children mm. and report the case to those who can stop him from the abuse. Because not taking the Western mentality of, you know, child abuse thinking, yeah. It doesn't mean that as a parent, I do have a right, free ticket to just do whatever I want with my child. Mm. The authority should also be moderate, even in the Muslim territories. If you are the government and you know that this father is beating his children like animal, you should bring him also to a dibu. He shouldn't do. He's going to create also bad people. He's not doing good to the kids actually at all. He's destroying them. They're going to grow as arrogant, especially in our time. Yeah. In the past, no problem. You can beat your child, whatever. You beat him and he will be okay with that. That's the past. Today, no. Yeah. Finish. Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.